All right, here's another one for your AI vocabulary. Hallucitation. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. By now, a lot of us are familiar with chatbot hallucinations, the tendency of these artificial intelligence language models to make stuff up. And lately, we've been seeing reports of these tools getting creative with bibliography. For instance, last week, the Washington Post reported on the case of a law professor whose name showed up in a list of legal scholars accused of sexual harassment that was generated by ChatGPT as part of a research project. The chatbot cited as the source of this information a March 2018 Washington Post article that doesn't actually exist. People have taken to calling these fantasy references hallucitations. And according to Bethany Edmonds, a teaching professor at Northeastern University, they're kind of par for the course.
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind is that they were created to generate new text. And so that is the goal there. It is not to answer questions. It is not to be factually correct. It is to replicate language. And they're doing that really, really well. But as humans, we actually not just speak, we actually look up information, we recall information, we deduce things from our experiences. And so that's actually a different concept, right? To be able to go and answer a question. And so we've used search engines for a long time to actually answer questions, and they do that quite well. But that is actually a different task than saying, I want you to create a paragraph. And so I think where the difficulty is coming in is that people are looking to something that is generating language, and that is its main goal, and expecting that language to also be factually correct when that is not the task at hand.
And as I mentioned, you know, these tools are not just making things up, getting facts wrong. They're also pointing to completely made up sources for where that information came from. I mean, that seems especially problematic.
But somewhat predictable, right? So if we're telling it to create things from scratch, it's going to create things from scratch. I think the thing that makes it tricky is that it's believable. In interacting with text, we are assuming all of these human-like behaviors of a machine that is just generating text. And so we are attributing all of these thought processes and meaning behind what's coming out. What really all it is text.
So in your opinion, given, you know, what you know about large language models, is this a fixable problem?
I think it is if you want it to be. You know, looking at the larger companies, the larger organizations that are purchasing these software and looking to incorporate them into their existing products, they would then have to spend the time saying, okay, is this worthwhile? Or are we just going to put a disclaimer? Because I think it would take a fair amount of effort. The systems that are out there, they recognized, okay, if it was too homophobic or racist or harmful in what it was saying, that the systems would not be adopted. They've outsourced a lot of work to make sure that it wasn't as hateful as it was originally. So I think that changes can be made to these models, but it would really have to be within the goal of the organization to do that.
What worries you the most about these hallucinations and hallucitations?
That people are going to believe it. The concern that I have is people tend to believe machines over other individuals. They're skeptical of other individuals. But if a machine does something, we tend to believe, oh, that there must be a reason for that. It must be factually correct. It must know something I don't. There's a lot of risk to people believing what the machines are saying and then taking actions or changing their minds based on what they're reading. Another is taking the agency away from individuals, again, relying on machines over ourselves and our decency and our social understanding of how to work with individuals, how to fact check, how to do certain things that we're taught growing up. And we assume, you know, if the machine comes back with this, well, clearly somebody's vetted this. I think we need to make sure that individuals that are using these systems know how accurate they are, how biased they are, and use them with those cautions.
Bethany Edmonds at Northeastern University. And for some context, the term hallucitation has been attributed to Kate Crawford, an AI scholar at the University of Southern California. She was contacted by a journalist working on a story about a controversial figure in the AI tech world, Lex Fridman. When the reporter asked ChatGPT to name some of his biggest critics, Kate Crawford's name came up, citing sources where Crawford supposedly made those criticisms that were completely made up. It's a problem UCLA's Sarah Roberts told us she also encountered when she asked ChatGPT a question about her own research area. She said it generated academic papers with titles that sounded so plausible, she couldn't believe she hadn't heard of them. So she went looking for them and found they were all fake too. We'll have the links to that at our website, marketplacetech.org. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.